So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 88. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week, it's all about where we left the crew from The Force Awakens. So where they're going to be in The Last Jedi. And what's going to happen? Well, at least our predictions anyway. As always, I'm Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hi, it's the last episode that we're recording before we see The Last Jedi.
Are you excited?
Are you excited? Oh my god, yes. Basically, yes.
I think I can hear it in your voice. I think you're excited.
Yeah.
All right. And we also have Ben with us this week. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Ben, are you excited? You're going to see another Ben on the screen?
Yeah, it's going to be great, actually. I just also realized that, like, I'm not going to say any theories now because we're about to get into it, but there could be two Bens in this movie. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Ben, you're not in the movie. I'm sorry. But you're thinking of Ben Kenobi. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. Or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on Hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Canto Bite, which came out yesterday.
I saw people tweeting about it, but I think it was because they got an ARC. So, which is an advanced reader's copy, for anyone who isn't really into, like, book stuff. So, essentially, publishers will, send you a copy in advance of, like, the published date, so that you, like, you can read it, you can review it,
I actually got the Audible version of it, And the Kindle version, because I like to have the books because I prefer to read them. But in the car, I like to listen to the book I also have. It's fairly short. It's actually just four short stories, which is pretty cool. You know, it's four short stories set in the exotic area of, or exotic casino city of Canto Bight, if you will. Basically, there's stories. I'll just go in. While we're talking about it, before we get to the news, we might as well talk about it now real quick. The first one is about an honest salesman who meets a career criminal. The second one is about dreams and schemes collide when a deal over a priceless bottle of wine becomes a struggle for survival. Old habits die hard when a servant is forced into a mad struggle for power among Canto Bight's elite. And a deadbeat gambler has one last chance to turn his luck around. All he has to do is survive one wild night at Canto Bight. I feel like I haven't had a chance to read this or listen to it yet, because I'm finishing up another book right now. But I feel like it's gonna be a fun book. I'm excited to kind of get into it. It's definitely not your standard Star Wars fare. It reminds me a little bit of the old Tales from Jabba's Palace and stuff like that, where it's like, you know, something that is Star Wars, but not like the Star Wars like you expect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does make sense. I actually, now that you've said that it's, like, short stories, that is really good for me, because I still have to catch up on a couple of books before The Last Jedi hits, and that's one of them. And so knowing that means that it's going to be quicker for me to read it.
Yeah, it's four short stories, and if you get it on Audible, I think it's, like, only 6 hours long, so, like...
I'll read it faster than I'll be able to listen to it.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about, like, if you're doing work or driving, you know, you can do with something like that. It's pretty easy to get through. Anyway, moving on. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. We have some really cool perks there, like our Discord chat, recording studio, movie nights, and maybe we'll end up doing the Ewok movies too, apparently, because Ben wants to.
I was totally kidding, but that's fine.
Maybe those will be after. Maybe that will turn into After Dark episodes. Who knows? But if you haven't decided,
so we can actually give a real uncensored critique of
the- of Caravan of Courage. Maybe.
Yeah.
If you can't support us on Patreon, we totally understand. That's cool. But we do have some really cool merch for sale. T-shirts and button packs are available on our website. Get your t-shirt and button pack for Christmas today. Before Christmas? For your loved one?
Or somebody? To wear to the premiere next week.
Yeah. If you order right away as soon as you listen to
right
this,
now,
might make it before the movie. But we'll find out. Anyway, it's time for the news. First bit of news, you can actually watch Star Wars The Last Jedi red carpet live at StarWars.com on December 9th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So guys, every year that there's a Star Wars film, they do the awesome red carpet, but you'll get to be able to do a red carpet stream, and this year it's going to be none other than Andy Gutierrez and Anthony Carboni, the hosts of The Star Wars Show. They will be our hosts for the live stream in L.A., I'm excited to see this. It's always really cool to see all the actors and actresses come down and all the fans who are out there. I haven't done a movie premiere in a long time, and in person at least, but the Star Wars ones are always really cool, and to see the stuff they have. Like, I remember Force Awakens, they had a life-size X-Wing on the red carpet, and it's pretty rad. You guys gonna watch
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I mean, they're fairly larger than life. I mean, the one in the UK had the 501st. The UK's 501st, like, different factions from all over, they did, like, a full kind of, like, march through, like, leading the actors on the red carpet, which was incredible. But yeah, like, red carpets are always fairly interesting. that it's happening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, though. I need to figure out when that actually
like 2 a.m. is. I can barely figure out when to get on to record for the show. I don't think I'm going to be able to make this premiere thing happen.
Well, Ben, it's only a couple hours later for you.
I know,
you.
But still more than zero.
Yeah, that's true.
According to Google, that's 1 a.m. And that's...
Maybe it's 1 a.m., not 2. My math could be wrong.
Hold on. And it's
it is, because I counted from the time we end recording. It's midnight for you. And I know
that's on the 9th. That's a Saturday, right? It is.
Yeah, yes.
Why are we figuring this out now? I'm sorry.
Anyway, go ahead and watch it. Check it out. It's really exciting. Tanya,
will I be able to stay up?
telling every listener here how bad we are at math, people.
Time zones are stupid. Everyone knows that time zones are stupid and hard to keep track of. If you're like trying to keep track of, like,
you know what?
Multiple time zones.
We should all use GST, Galactic Standard Time, straight from Star Wars. And then everyone would just be on the same time. I think that would
actually be really useful, honestly.
Galactic Standard Time. Anyway, moving on to our next bit of news. I'm kind of excited for this bit of news. Do any of you guys use the Star Wars app on your smartphone?
On and off.
I used it for Force Friday, but the First Order has arrived in the Star Wars app for your iOS and Android device. So what's really cool is, in celebration of Star Wars The Last Jedi, they have a new feature in the app called Star Wars The Last Jedi Star Destroyer 360, a new augmented reality experience presented by Verizon has come to the Star Wars app. Basically, with Star Destroyer 360, you can actually bring the massive First Order dreadnought to life and see a full-blown battle in augmented reality. Now, for those of you who don't know what augmented reality is, we've talked about this on the show before. It's like going to be on your kitchen table or your living room table, and you're going to see a battle. Not only will we be able to like walk closer and walk further away from the really cool Star Wars dreadnought, but you'll be able to go ahead and see a battle in your living room. Like, who doesn't want that? Like, I do.
So, yeah. So, like, I think the easiest way to explain augmented reality versus virtual reality. Augmented reality is almost like another layer on top. So, you'll hold it up, whatever it is, whether you're wearing, like, goggles, glasses, or you've got it on your phone. When you hold it up, it uses, like, the camera to see what's around you, and it adds another layer on top. So you still see what's going on, but it adds things to your environment. So say now you're in your bedroom, it adds extra stuff on top, so you see stuff in your actual bedroom. Whereas virtual reality takes you into that universe entirely. So it's
comparable to the Kenobi Princess Leia hologram from A New Hope.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Where it'll appear on your table.
That's true, because Princess Leia is projected as a hologram. That's like augmented reality, because she's not actually there, but it's a representation of her, except the difference is they see her in person versus us looking through a little digital screen. But yes, yeah. It's just like that. So yeah, that's it. But yeah, they have a video on the Star Wars website about this. It's really goofy. You see people like holding a little iPhone and like three people like surrounding around it. I don't know if I'd want to like just surround around someone's little phone to see it. I'm going to do it myself, but it's pretty cool. I always like this augmented reality stuff they did. I know Star Wars did this with The Last Jedi. They used augmented reality during Force Friday with all the different characters, which I will say, seeing a giant Praetorian Guard life size come and slash at me was pretty cool. It did look a little digital though, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, they also have that augmented reality set that comes with like the lightsaber and everything. Mm-hmm. So you can be a Jedi.
That was actually just released like last week.
Yeah, it was. It was on Hyperbole did a fandom gift guide, and that was my entry for it. I was like, yes, you want this thing because you want to be a Jedi. Also,
who
for
doesn't
like,
want to be a Jedi? Like seriously,
for $200, it's actually fairly reasonable for what it actually is and what it comes with. So it comes with the augmented reality like goggles or whatever you want to call them. It also comes with like a lightsaber, and it comes with a Jedi training orb thing. So it actually comes with quite a lot of stuff that it interacts with. And then obviously you have all of like the actual augmented reality stuff as well. So it actually looks fairly reasonable, considering like virtual reality stuff is very, very, very expensive. It's still now it's out of the range of a lot of people. $200 for me is at least like it would take like not an insurmountable amount of time to like save up a little bit every month to then buy that for myself, whereas like virtual reality stuff is so expensive it takes forever to save up and get the one that I want. But yeah, no, it's actually fairly reasonable for what it is, and also it's been getting some really good reviews from people in terms of like what it's capable of and what you do with it. So yeah, I'm kind of
that's pretty cool. Well, speaking of virtual reality and augmented reality, you can join Princess General Leia's crew in Star Wars Droid Repair Bay and go one-on-one with BB-8 in this amazing and accessible virtual reality experience. So basically, ILM X-Labs has just released a official VR experience connected to Star Wars The Last Jedi called Star Wars The Last Jedi Droid Repair Bay, and basically is for the HTC Vive on Steam and Viveport or Samsung Gear on the Oculus Store. You can get it. There's actually a really cool video where you get to kind of work with a bunch of different BB style droids and kind of, you know, repair the different bay and help General Leia out on her ship. And it's pretty cool. Like you're in augmented or in virtual reality, not augmented reality. Again, unlike augmented reality, virtual reality, you've completely like looking at screens and you're immersed in this environment. Did you guys get a chance to check out the video for this?
I did a little bit. I'm actually hoping. So Scott, who I go and stay with them every year when a Star Wars film comes out. I go back to Wales to stay with him and Amy, his now fiance, because they got engaged. I go back and stay with them because we go and watch Star Wars together, which is what's happening next week. I'm driving a couple of hours back to Wales to go and see it with them. But he has virtual reality headsets because he works on Subnautica. So they have to test the VR capabilities. So he has like loads of virtual reality stuff. So if he has this, then I'm going to be like, hey, can I play it?
Well, why not? And I don't think it's very expensive. Like, if he has the VR headsets, if he's got the Vive and stuff like that, you can download it from Steam. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, it looks fun. I really like the blue BB droid that they have as, like, the cover photo for this, just because he looks really cool, the blue and gray. But yeah. That's just me. Anyway, so last bit of news, making sure. The Star Wars The Last Jedi, they've released a training montage video, which I think is actually pretty cool. Like, I know Hypeable did an article on it about training day. We know that there's a big battle that's going to happen. It hints at it. What do you guys think of this video that they've released?
It was so cute. Also really cool because not only did we get to like really see how great Daisy Ridley is at picking up like all the different sort of fighting styles that she's being taught and the sort of choreography that she's being shown, like they were expecting her to pick it up within a couple of days. She picked up the choreography within hours instead and learned it all. Like, she picked stuff up really, really quickly. But it's also just really interesting. Like, there's little insights into it. You see Rey swinging around, like, a sort of stick, and Daisy does it too quickly and bonks herself on the head. And it was so funny. And I was just like going, yep, that would be me. I would totally do that as well. Just be like, yeah, I've totally got this, smack myself in the face with it. The other thing that was really interesting in this was John Boyega was talking about the fight that he's going to have with Phasma. And was like, you know, obviously they could have had the stuntman to do it. But he felt like it was so important to him that he was the one that did the whole thing and learned it all and did it from start to finish. And it was really, really difficult and really intense work, but he felt like it was the important thing to do because it was so important for his character. And mm-hmm. I really respect that a lot. I love John Boyega anyway, but that is such a really cool thing. And it seems to be the same for like all of the actors. They all seem to be willing to go full in with like doing all of their own choreography, their own fight scenes, everything. You know, Gwendolyn Christie had a lot where she was doing a lot of moving around. She did talk a little bit about how she was quite restricted in terms of the armor once she moved into the armor, but it looks like the actual action in this film is going to be really interesting, really close quarters, very physical, which for me is really exciting because I love that sort of stuff. We also got to see the best, I think, bit of Kelly Marie Tran in action, and she is so cool, guys. Like, yeah. I love her so much already.
After the junkets started getting released, she's my number one most anticipated new character, just because of, not even because we don't even know her character, but like just her as a person is just awesome. So I'm ready to see what she can do on screen.
I don't know, man. Porgs are up there too.
They didn't interview the porgs, so I don't have an opinion on them.
That's true. Yeah. We haven't.
I mean, John Boyega's not a fan of them. I trust John.
They still the spotlight. Anyway, no, my favorite thing about this video was having Gwendolyn Christie talk about how difficult it was, not just talking about in the Stormtrooper or in the Phasma armor, but just how difficult it was, like, going through and, like, how intense the training was. When you consider someone like her, you know, she's also, you know, in Game of Thrones, and she's had some pretty epic fight scenes there. And this is that much more intense. And I get it, you know, Game of Thrones is a TV show, but they still had some pretty epic stuff.
That doesn't really come into it. Like, TV shows are productions.
As good as, yeah, they're as good as productions, but the fact that she's like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done, and I'm like, but you do the same thing with like a big old sword in Game of Thrones. You're Brienne Tarth, and I'm just like, that's awesome. Like the intensity that they've gone through for this. So I am really excited to see the action stuff in here, because you know, like I said, seeing Kelly Marie Tran, seeing Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, all of them, even Adam Driver, just be like totally a.
Oh my god, Adam Driver's got guns, man! Holy crap!
Just a full on, just being a full on BAMF. I'm like, dang, Ben, you know, you're gonna be Ben Solo too soon, killing.
I mean, you're talking about me too, right?
I mean, yeah, sure,
yeah, that's totally yeah.
I'm like
right.
super not into Kylo Ren, but. My goodness, those are some arms on Adam Driver. Like, I had a moment. Holy crap.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so the training video
this
was...
is why I need Caitlin, or why I need, like, other people to back me up here.
He is extremely fit. I agree. Yeah. I don't know if I focused on his arms. I focused on his crazy like facial expression. Like he was like, as he swings the lightsaber around.
Yeah, those face muscles.
Oh my gosh. I know, man. Like,
wow.
Those face muscles, man.
Oh my
gosh. I don't know if I can frown like that as I swing a lightsaber. But
yeah,
you know.
That's got to take just so much concentration.
Yeah. I need more queer people on here, or I need Caitlin back.
Okay, moving on. So today's episode is an interesting episode because it is our last episode before we have a brand new Star Wars film, specifically a new film in our saga. Episode 8 will be available next week. Man, I'm so excited for this. We are exactly right
doing
now.
Episode 88 right now.
I know. So 89 will be episode 8.
Oh,
so
I was just saying all the eights, you know.
In just one short week, we'll be able to say we've seen The Last Jedi. So this week is all about where we left our characters from The Force Awakens. Now, if you want to follow along, you can go to Hypeable's website. One of our co-hosts, Danya, wrote an amazing article called The Last Jedi, Where We Last Left the Characters in The Force Awakens. This will be the basis of our conversation, and then we'll get to go do some predictions of where we'll see each of those characters go in The Last Jedi, and see how bad our predictions are in our next episode.
Or is probably going to get off the rails very, very quickly.
How about almost immediately?
Yeah,
not
true.
Almost immediately, okay? You know? Inkar Plot is not here on this list. Rey does not have to take the lightsaber that she found to him and get a whole portion instead of a quarter portion now. Maybe.
The
maybe
Porgs are going to eat everyone
and take over
the universe.
Alright, so what we'll do is we'll go through this. Let's start with the characters in the order they appeared in The Force Awakens. That way we're not favoring
anybody. With a caveat, in this list, I did purposefully put Luke Skywalker last, even though we do see him technically in a Force vision, because I just thought there was something kind of poetic about like putting him right at the end, like he was in the movie.
Well, and to be fair, to also back you up, you're putting in the characters as they appear in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the exception of Snoke, who's a hologram, but, you know.
Yeah, but you couldn't really get around that. He didn't appear at all.
Yeah. And technically, Finn, you didn't know it was Finn until well afterwards when they got the mark on his face and everything else. You get that early flash of the stormtroopers coming down to Jakku. But anyway, we'll start off with Finn. So we left Finn in a dire situation. He had been injured. And he was healing up at the Resistance base on Dakar. So, guys, what do we think about Finn? What do you think? Where's Finn going to go?
I'm just glad he's in the movie.
Like, he's glad he survived.
Seriously, I know the first time I saw Force Awakens, I audibly gasped when Kylo Ren like slashed his back because I was like, oh, he's dead. He's so dead. So when he wasn't dead, I was like, this is great. So I'm really cool with whatever. I feel like he's going to like fight Phasma in this movie, though.
Oh, he's absolutely fighting Phasma. I don't know where you
I don't know. You know, like we just talked about this like 30 seconds ago. Right. But yeah, I guess he is going to fight Phasma. I will say, I feel like Finn, or should I call him 00 Finn? I feel like he's going to be like a secret agent. I feel like that's where his character's going. I feel like Finn
is going to
be...
because of that one featurette with like the him in the First Order garb.
Yeah, well, kind of like, well, that, and you also see it, like, in the trailer and stuff like that, him, the First Order guard. So I feel like, you know, he's going, we know he's going to Canto Bight, and we know Rose, Kelly Marie Tran character's going there. So I feel like he's actually going undercover, and I feel like when you think of Canto Bight is this, you know, casino planet that just, like, streams, like, 007. Like, and actually, like, I think even Rian Johnson said, like, Canto Bight is this casino planet. Think of, like, a... you know, James Bond style thing. So I feel like Finn is going to be kind of playing like a, not like a, I guess Cassian Andor style, like undercover kind of reconnaissance kind of guy, maybe. Like he might be trying to do something for the resistance. But I feel like he's going to be like a secret agent. I just want him to have like James Bond, I want him to have like Q or someone and have to, like, maybe Rose is his Q. Maybe that's
Rose
what it
apparently
is.
Works on,
she's
like,
a mechanic, right?
She's really tech savvy. Mechanic. Yeah.
So Rose is going to be his Q, and he's going to have all these really cool gadgets. Like he's going to have like a holdout blaster that's going to pop into his hand. Like I want him to be like, I want it to be really cool. So I feel like Finn, you know, this is Mikey holding the card, you know, the envelope to his head, saying Finn is going to be like 00 Finn. He's going to be a secret agent going to Canto, the casino planet of Canto Bight. That's my prediction.
I mean, honestly, it makes a little bit of sense, considering that he
a little bit of sense. Mikey's theories are a little bit of sense. Or, you know, or after Canto Bight, after he's done gambling, he wins a bunch, maybe he's going to be going to the opposite of Jakku, because everyone wants to go there, and he goes to Hoth and open up an ice cream parlor. Because, you know, nothing better than ice cream
See,
on a
now
cold
you've
planet.
Gone completely off the rails, so we've gone
But there's nothing better than ice cream on a cold day on Hoth. The First Order will never find him there.
Okay. So I'm just going to jump back to your original idea of him being almost like an undercover kind of agent. You know, I like that idea. It also makes sense, unlike the ice cream idea.
Hot chocolate stand. I like that, bro.
Yeah. It makes sense in that he grew up in the First Order. He knows that organization inside and out. If anyone was going to get
he cleaned the toilets. He was janitorial staff.
Yeah,
he was inside and out. Get it? Poo jokes. Bad. Anyway,
yeah, really bad. But yeah, no, it makes sense that he would be chosen to go on like an undercover mission.
I think the one thing I don't quite understand is, like, I get why he would be picked because he knows the First Order better than, like, anybody in the Resistance. But, like, aren't there, like, wanted posters for him all over the First Order? So if he's walking around and he doesn't have a helmet on...
No, why would they want to do that? Why would they advertise the fact that a stormtrooper, a First Order trooper, can break their programming?
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Why would they advertise that? They probably want to keep it quiet and under wraps and
so
take
basically,
him out.
He just can't be seen by Phasma, Hux, or Kylo Ren, or basically anybody else who knew that happened.
Yeah, so anyone within his squadron. So we know that his squadron knows, obviously, because he didn't show back up again. And they know that he wasn't killed because they were right there on that mission with him. So his squadron knows, obviously Phasma, Hux, and Kylo Ren know, so anyone outside of that, I would imagine, doesn't know, because they don't want to make it, like, a known thing that you could break your programming.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, you don't want to, if you want to keep, like, an authoritarian, like, grip over those people. If you want to keep them completely under your control, you don't let them know that they can have free thought.
That makes sense. Like, when you think about, like, I don't know, did either of you guys read the Phasma book yet?
No. It is literally, like, this weekend I'm gonna be pretty much sitting down and reading, like, or finishing off Star Wars books. So...
Okay. Well, I won't do any spoilers because it's really good. But it does give you an idea of like who Cardinal is and the training and the kind of the mind washing, the programming that goes into these characters. So I'm okay with it. Like,
I mean, they touched on it a little bit in Before the Awakening as well. Like what happened with Finn and his little squadron. His
group, yeah. No, I agree. So it's good though. Like I'm excited to see where this goes. Now, let's go to the next character, as much as I love Finn, who's one of my favorite characters, being, 007. Let's talk about BB-8, because he was the next one to show up in Force Awakens. So, BB-8, that lovable, cute droid that you can't forget, even though everyone's forgotten him because of, the porgs. But, think of...
I think he'll zap a porg, and then cook it, and then they'll eat him.
That's kind of amazing to me. That's kind of amazing. Like, not even like funny amazing. That's just like that's what I want to happen now. But okay, cool. BB-8. Let's remind people where we left off if you haven't watched The Force Awakens in a while. So BB-8, after a series of wonderful adventures with his friends Rey and Finn, have finally made it back to the Resistance with that piece of the map to Luke Skywalker. BB-8 was able to join Poe on his assault to Starkiller Base. So he was inside Starkiller Base, blowing it up with Poe and his awesome black X-Wing. So, and then BB-8 is still with Poe at the end. He did not go to Octu with Chewie, Rey, or R2. So he is still on Dakar with Finn and Poe and General Leia.
That makes sense. BB-8 belongs to Poe, right? Yeah, he's Poe's droid, so of course he would stay. The only reason, realistically speaking, that he was with Finn and Rey is because Poe was presumed dead.
Yeah, no, I get that. So, my question is, what do you guys think BB-8's gonna do in The Last Jedi? Not The Force Awakens, we know what it is.
In The Force but in of the Jedi Last.
in The Last Jedi.
I mean, he's obviously gonna be on missions with Poe. So wherever Poe goes, BB-8 is going to be there.
BB-8 is sure to follow.
Yeah. So, he's going to be helping guide missions, whatever Poe is flying. We know that Poe is going to be stepping more into a role where he's less just squadron leader and more like being groomed to step up into a leadership position within the Resistance. Like that was something that was outlined in the Entertainment Weekly articles. So his relationship with Laura Dern's character is going to be quite interesting because she's also a leader within the Resistance. So yeah, I think BB-8 is going to be basically going around helping Poe. They're like a duo. You can't have one without the other.
Can't have one without the other?
I mean, If they kind of separated, it would probably be because BB-8 and BB-9E like have a thing, and then they
the whole
like, what if there was like a Lady and the Tramp style dinner where like they're eating porg and like they sing a song together?
It always comes back to eating porg with you.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with eating porg. But I will
Ben,
say,
are you hungry?
we know about all these battles with everybody else, right? So I kind of want a battle with, BB-9E and BB-8. Like, I really kind of do. Especially since, so here's the reason why I don't know if what's going to happen. And I'll tell you why I don't know if that's what's going to happen with BB-8. Even though I really want a BB-8, BB-9E, like, rolling dance, breakdance type battle. The reason because BB-9E is Phasma's droid. And that's Phasma's going to be.
Oh, I thought he was Kylo Ren's droid.
Well, we'll see. But he is okay. Phasma's droid from the comics. So like that's where we get introduced to BB-9E. So I have this feeling that it'll be nice to see, like, see if Phasma's there. And, Phasma and Finn see BB-9E. And then BB-8 is with Poe. And the thing is, like, I don't know where Poe's going to go with BB-8 and Poe are going to be with them, because they're not going to be, they're, you know, they fly. They're not on Canto Bight. So I think BB-8 is going to be riding in Poe's awesome X-Wing, and it's going to go faster, and he falls back like we saw in the trailer, and he's just going to fall asleep, and he's going to be like, you know, maybe like a Sleeping Beauty type thing. Poe will kiss him awake, and he'll be like, R2-D2, just magically come back to us in the end of the film. He won't do much. I think there's so many other things like porgs and everything else that they got to focus on that BB-8 is going to take a back seat, or, you know, a back trip in the X-Wing. I don't think BB-8 is going to be that big of a character this time around. What do you guys think?
I guess.
No? I think you're being ridiculous. Like,
I want
Mikey's gone full on. Mikey's gone full on After Dark territory here.
Nah. No, well, like, think about it. Like, the only thing alright, so my one aspiration, my one hope for BB-8 in this film is like R2-D2 in the prequels. I want to see something really cool from BB-8 that we didn't see in the first one. Whether it be a new style, you know, lighter thumb up type thing that just makes the crowd like love him even more. So maybe you're right. Maybe he shocks a porg and it becomes Kentucky Fried Porg. So who knows? But I want it to be something that people were like, oh, wow, remember when BB-8 did this?
That's you all know, I want to this BB-8. Day, that whole thumbs up, I always thought was just him flipping off Finn because he was like, how dare you make me tell her? But I guess it's a thumbs up because it's, you know, a family movie.
Oh, man. Ben, your mind goes to the gutter always. Danya, really, anything else to add about, okay. Anything to add about BB-8?
No.
You think he's going to be in Poe's X-Wing?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I said as much. Like, he's going to be on missions with Poe.
You know what? I think he's going to go to Hoth with Finn and build a snowman. There we okay. go. We're going to move on.
So, Poe Dameron.
We're going to move on to Poe Dameron. So, Poe, after surviving a crash, you know, on Jakku, not Tatooine, the planet of Jakku. No. Yeah, I was thinking about it. He makes it back to the Resistance. And he's there for both the missions of on Takodana and Starkiller Base. And he was also the person to actually get in and help blow up Starkiller Base, which is pretty cool. So he leads his squadron back to Dakar after the mission is successful. And that's where we'll find him. He's going to be in his really cool black X-Wing, which I think gets blown up according to the trailer. So I think we're going to see him lose his X-Wing again. And I don't know what Poe's gonna do. I just know he's gonna butt heads with Lord.
Better
Durin's
not die
character.
Again.
I mean, the butting heads thing was less about like so their ideals are the same, but their styles in how they want to be active are very different. So Amalyn Hondo is like more strategically minded. She's more willing to like play the long game. Whereas Poe is very sort of impulsive. He's very active in that he wants to go out and save people, and he wants to go and you know, go on yeah. missions and follow through on missions and actually like actively save people. So that's where their conflict is going to come around. But
would you say Poe is a little bit like Saw Gerrera in that sense?
No.
I was thinking more like Wedge and Mon Mothma kind of relationship, where like one is clearly a pilot who wants to go out and do the thing, and then like one is like, nope, I'm going to think through this.
Well, and, I mean, you know. I don't think that's necessarily accurate either.
Why? Because you hate Wedge?
No. because
I didn't mean to do this.
No, because we never see Wedge in a leadership position in the movie, so it's not really okay. a correlation. Right. It's got nothing to do with how I feel about Wedge, but more that we don't see the character in that respect. I would say more that not that he's exactly the same as Han Solo, but I would say that like he's more active in that he's out wanting to enact like the plans. Like he'll think of a plan and he wants to go out and see it through and see it all the way to the end. Like
So he's a man of action.
Yeah, he is a man of action. But so
he's also like a James Bond character then.
I guess, yeah. To an extent. I mean, I think he probably will think things through a little bit more. But I think that, yeah, Emmeline Hondo is going to be just very much a strategic mind. So she doesn't want to go in like a half-cock kind of, like, well, not I thinking think this also, everything through entirely.
I think this also has to do with a little bit. You have to remember who Poe Dameron is. He has two parents who are in the Rebel Alliance. He was born after the Battle of Endor. You know, he grew up as a pilot doing stuff. And, you know, if you think about, like, he does have a little bit of ego. He's known as the best pilot in the Resistance. So, you know, I can see him butting heads with someone who's a little bit more strategic mind. And you have to remember, Leia also, like, from Princess of Alderaan and even in the films and stuff, she's a person of action. She doesn't just sit back and let other people do the work, you know, do the stuff. Even though she is an, you know, she has a very sharp mind, I think she also goes ahead and, you know, she is okay picking up a blaster, whereas I don't know if Emmeline Hondo's character would be the same as General Leia in that sense. I think she's going to be more like a Mon Mothma, you know, the bureaucrat sending other people to die in war a little bit. And I think Poe might be, you know, not take offense to it, but definitely butt heads with that when he's, you know, he's got, I guarantee you, everyone in the squadrons that follow him probably would follow him over someone who's telling him, no, you need to do this instead. But I don't know. I definitely think he's going to fly his X-Wing. Now, I will say, I do want to talk about this from the trailer, too, about him. He does something where he gets, like, this really cool rocket boost. Does anyone have an idea what that is?
It's a Need for Speed in space.
Need for Speed. he hits the NOS button, like the nitrous oxide, and he's just like... Yeah,
totally.
There he goes. That's it.
For me, right. That was R1, I think. R2, probably. R2! Oh! Okay. Sorry. Oh. Got a little excited.
Ben. Okay. Anyway. But yeah, so that's where we leave Poe Dameron. All right, next up is one of my favorite characters, especially for this film and the novelizations and all the stuff we've gotten from her. None other than Captain Phasma. So, Captain Phasma, we are first introduced to her in The Force Awakens as the silver stormtrooper person with an awesome black cape coming down, commanding all the troops on Jakku, and is ruthless and tells them to kill the, you know, bystanders. But when we last leave Phasma, she is in the trash compactor. After Finn, Han, Chewie arrive at Starkiller Base, they convince her to lower the shields. And because Finn's affinity to janitorial work as in the First Order, there's a trash compactor to put Phasma in. If you follow the Phasma comics, it picks up right where at the end of Force Awakens, so you know what happened to Phasma. I will not get into it unless you guys want me to go into it a little bit. But that's where she picks up BB-9E and leaves Starkiller Base to survive. So, what do you guys think happens to Phasma in The Last Jedi?
I think she's definitely has to fight Finn.
You think she's going to fight Finn?
I think so, yeah.
I think so, too. I think that's going to happen, considering, you know,
hands down, it's going to happen.
We've seen that in the trailers. We've seen that in, where else
have we seen that's right. It was in the trailer.
I think that's not a non-guess. I think that's
No.
If I was a betting man, I'd say that's going to happen, Ben. Tanya, what do you think is going to happen to Phasma in The Last Jedi?
I mean, I think Phasma and Finn are definitely going to fight.
Great, oh awesome. My gosh. I'm glad somebody's with me on this, okay?
You guys aren't creative at all. You're not
No, Mikey, listen. Tanya was actually, like, on my side with this one. You were very skeptical all of a sudden when I said that. So I'm glad that somebody else agrees with me, okay?
I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, be a little more creative, because this is very obvious of what's going to happen. You know?
I mean, I think she's going to win.
You think Phasma's going to win?
I don't know. I don't think Finn's going to die, but I think Phasma might, you know, get the upper hand or something, and then Finn will have to be, like, saved by some X-Wing flying by or something.
Or some X-Wing pilot.
I don't know.
Rose.
Or Rose, yeah, that would be, yeah. Because she seems like the type of character so far, because if she's like a mechanic or whatever, she said in an interview, I think she works on pipes or something, that she could probably be easily overlooked. And then just come up behind Phasma. Be like, wapow.
Quapow? Is that what's
Yeah, it's going to make that noise. Yeah, that's a Ben Burtt original sound effect.
Wapow.
That sounds like a planet name. We're going to fly to Wapow.
All right, Wapow. well, Bonnie is one, so... All right, so I do agree. I agree that Finn's going to fight Phasma. I feel like this is a pretty obvious thing, so I don't think it's going to be a surprise here. But I want to say I feel like Phasma might make a little bit more headway, if you will, because I feel like she's going to go ahead and I feel like she's going to take her mask off. You know, we've seen in the I feel like we're going to see Phasma's face. One, I want to see Phasma's face in the film, but two, I think it's going to be mainly because we've seen Kylo Ren be maskless already, and we have Snoke without a mask on, unlike Vader and stuff like that. So I feel like we're going to start to see the actual faces of these characters, and that's just me hoping because I want Gwendolyn Christie to show up. Plus, I also want a strong female character on the Empire side myself. What do you guys think about that? Do you think she could be maskless, or is that just me like guessing?
Maybe really. I think it would be interesting because she was so adamant about none of the First Order troopers taking their helmets off. So
yeah, there would need to be a good reason or a good circumstance for it to happen.
But. Yeah, I think so too, because she was very much of the opinion that like everyone should be keeping their helmets on at all times. Like there's something about
Well, she likes to wear a mask. She used to wear a mask before she got the Phasma mask on her planet. You know, her death mask is what they called it, if you read the Phasma novel. So I get that she wants to wear a mask. Like, I'm not, like, against her wearing a mask. I'm just saying, like, I feel like I would be excited if she didn't wear the mask. Does that make sense? Like, I'd want to see her face, or she might move to a different mask.
Do we have confirmation that Phasma is like humanoid? Like, she's human. We know that she looks like Gwendolyn Christie underneath the mask, right?
Yeah,
I'm just saying she doesn't have like blue skin or something.
No, that's okay. She's human.
Okay,
like that's who she is. Like that's. What she is. It's not like a, you know, something else. Does that make sense? Like, that's
who she like is. Not so. Human. Okay.
Yeah, she's not not human. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
So, yeah, that happened. Good. I don't know. Good talk. But yeah, I want her to take her mask off. Okay. That's me.
Speaking of masks coming off.
I know, right? Hey, that was my transition, Ben.
I win. Ah, I'm so proud of me.
Get it? We're going to talk about Ben next. Get it?
Benny Solo.
So, Kylo Solo, little Ben Solo, who's moody. And man, Donnie, can I say the picture you posted on your article is none other than the best picture of Kylo Ren ever.
But wasn't that the first picture ever released, too?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so Kylo Ren, if you don't know who he is the son, the temper tantrum laden son of Princess Leia and Han Solo, force sensitive, went to the dark side, trainee of Snoke, and we left him in The Force Awakens after killing Han Solo. You know, Han Solo falling down the ravine, going, ah! Actually, he didn't yell at all. Cause,
he didn't make a noise. He was dead.
No. Yeah.
Oh, come on. I want to believe that Han Solo would survive that.
Oh, come on. Sure.
Okay. All right, guys. We had awesome. We had Darth Maul survive the same thing and being cut in half.
Yeah, but did the planet explode?
He was cut in half.
Whoa. Yeah, but did the planet explode?
I'm glad we're getting it up on it today. This is funny.
All right, the planet explode. So all right. So here's
also, does Harrison Ford want to do another movie? That's another question we have to answer.
that would be a big negatory. So no.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe Han Solo is dead. So Kylo Ren killed Han Solo. All right, so that's where we left him, and we left him injured. on the forest, but we had Snoke tell General Hux to go get Kylo Ren and bring him to me. So, what do you guys think we're taking, Kylo Ren?
I think that by the end of The Last Jedi, Kylo Ren may not necessarily be on the side of the light or the dark. I think that what might happen is that he's not on the side of the resistance and doesn't want to return home because he's still fairly
Kylo Ren
on the dark side. Yeah, he's not a good guy. There's nothing that's going to really change that.
I mean, I would argue he'd solidified the dark side by killing his father, because that's something Luke couldn't do, so.
Yeah. However, I think that he will become not useful to Snoke any longer.
Ooh, disposable.
So he's disposable. Oh, I think that something's going to happen over the course of The Last Jedi that will mean that Snoke can no longer use him for whatever his aim or means is. Because he's not the right person for that anymore. So he's going to be ousted from the First Order, but he has nowhere else to go. So he'll become like...
Do you think that'll be because... Because as far as we know, Snoke doesn't know that Kylo Ren is tempted by the light side of the Force. So... Maybe... Do you think Snoke will find that out and then be like, nope, you're no use to me because you're not completely evil?
No, because I think...
Or will it be something else?
I think it'll be something else. I think it may even be that he wants to manipulate Rey to his side.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that the idea of, like, temptation to the light side of the Force is going to be a factor in it. I think it's just that... I think it's going to be more that Kylo Ren is not as powerful or as useful to him as he needs Kylo Ren to be, and also that he's not going to help him achieve his goal. So he's just not useful. And I think that's how he'll be ousted, I guess.
He just won't be useful.
But he's still got, you know, a cool starfighter.
Yeah, he gets a new ship in this one.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
It's like
with
the sexiest starfight I've ever seen.
It's like Vader meets all the cool ships ever. Like, I'm being serious. Like, it's a very cool, like, very cool starfighter. Like, I'm really,
it's like the Ferrari of starfighters.
Yeah, that TIE silencer is like, now he had the Kylo Ren like command shuttle before that was really rad, but this is like.
Yeah, it's, and that's still in this movie. So
yeah, it is. So I'm okay with it. But man, this is pretty awesome, I will say. So I personally think Kylo Ren is going to end up... I don't know what he's going to end up doing. I'll be honest. I feel like... I don't think he's going to not be... He's not going to be useful to Snoke at all. Because he's been, like, trained by Snoke. I also think Snoke is aware of his draw to the light side. And I also kind of believe a little bit in the novelization of The Force Awakens, where when he killed Han Solo, he didn't go further go to the dark side, but it actually pulled him closer to the light. It conflicted him more. It made him question what he was doing, which he had hoped it would do what he wanted it to, but it didn't. And especially since you consider, like, in the trailer we've seen him smash what we think is his mask, and he doesn't want to be quite like his grandfather anymore. So I feel like Ben is showing his lighter side. That's why he's not wearing the mask anymore. Getting some sun on that skin. Get it? Lighter side. Okay, anyway.
Let's move on to the sunny side,
which is Rey, who's our get it? A ray of sunshine. Ba-da-ba-ba. Oh, man, these are bad jokes. Such bad jokes today. I love it. Anyway, none other than our scavenger from Jakku, Rey, overpowered Kylo Ren at the end of the film, and she was able to call the Skywalker lightsaber to her instead of him when he said that belongs to me. It doesn't, because it belongs to Luke's daughter, none other than Rey Skywalker.
Okay.
So,
oh god.
At the very
end,
I'm
gonna have a really, really hard time if Mikey's right.
Like, oh man, if I'm right, and I'm gonna have such a hard time. Oh, you guys will never hear the end of it. Like, it'll be so bad.
But you also know that if you're wrong, when you're wrong, you're never gonna hear the end of it.
When I'm gonna be wrong, most likely.
It's eternal pain for one of us, okay?
Oh, I'm probably gonna be wrong, and I'll just be like, okay, but if I am right, oh man, if I am right, you guys will never hear. Oh, I'm so excited for it. Our little Rey Skywalker is on the planet of Octu. And you know, she's there with, you know, Luke, R2, Chewie, and she's got none other than the Skywalker lightsaber, you know, the one that was Anakin's before Luke's, and now is Rey's. And I think she's going to go ahead and use the lightsaber. What do you guys think?
I mean, come on, Mikey.
All right.
That's
she's
a
gonna
great
go back,
theory, Mikey.
She's going to go back to Jakku and threaten Unkar Plot to give her a whole portion, not a quarter portion. How about that?
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Okay, that's more like your ridiculous.
There we go. A whole portion.
Rather than
one quarter
the
portion. No, well, all right. Rather than say that. No, I think Rey is going to have a very interesting time in this film, because if you look at the previous films, you know, Attack of the Clones, Empire Strikes Back, the second film in the trilogies, you know, they've lost their hand. I think Rey is going to lose a hand or a foot. Something to follow in, you know, her father and grandfather before her. What do you guys think?
God, I think you're going to be so insufferable if you're right.
Oh, I will be insufferable. Yeah, I might even have to do.
I think
podcast.
It's more likely
Mikey
that
was
she
right.
loses a hand than is Luke's daughter. So I would definitely vote for the hand.
Yeah.
You know,
I think,
but I'm gonna vote left hand.
Ooh,
because the other two lost their right. So,
well, is that because she's female? Like, she can't lose her right hand because she's female?
I don't know. I was just saying the other guys lost their right hand. I'm just saying, shake it up, like lose a different hand for once.
So, like I said,
maybe she's a lefty. Maybe she fights with her left hand. I don't remember. Whatever.
Danya, any hopes once? Predictions of Rey Skywalker. I mean, Rey Scavenger. Get it, Scavenger
One,
Skywalker.
That yeah. I don't want her parentage to be obvious, because I feel like for me that's gonna not necessarily detract from the film. It's just gonna be slightly disappointing because it's the obvious answer, and we've already got a central Skywalker child to the story.
We don't. So, we have a solo story.
Well,
is half a Skywalker
still part of the Skywalker lineage? As much part of the Skywalker lineage as Luke's son or daughter would be, because Luke would also have procreated with someone who was not a Skywalker.
Who wasn't Leia, hopefully. Fingers crossed. That would be weird.
Right.
I was like, again, you know, family movie.
All right.
Family movie.
Moving on now. Moving on then.
Oh, good, yeah, awesome. So Mikey doesn't like the direction it's going, so cuts off any other...
any of that is. Let's talk about none other than General Hux. He's going to be called Armitage in this film. I want him to be called Armitage so much. I want like Snoke.
Who would
I want
call him by his first name?
I want though. Snoke to be like, Armitage, come here! Or
but would he, though?
I don't know.
No, I find that most of the time, evil characters with British accents always use last names. Yeah. It's just the way it is.
it's the way of the universe.
Maybe Kylo Ren or Ben will be like, he takes the message. Neener, Armitage, that's a wiener name. I don't know.
Okay, well.
I don't know.
I want him to have another good scene in this movie. I want him to have another crazy, like, crazed power speech thing, because that was awesome in the last one.
I think it was pretty...
the Saruman, like, equivalent, where, like, he's sort of the right hand of the big evil dude, and he kind of wants to have everything for himself. That's kind of his downfall. I think he has the biggest chance of dying on the First Order side in this movie.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I won't... Well, I'm going to spoil it so you guys can do this, but Armitage killed his father, so he's definitely ruthless.
Well, sure, yeah.
You know, so he's definitely ruthless. I mean, so I feel like he's not quite Tarkin, but he's amongst that. He's very methodical, almost more like a Krennic, where he can definitely be outmaneuvered. I think he can be outmaneuvered by Phasma, which I know a lot of you don't know that, but if you read the Phasma novel, she's very smart and very bright and thinks a lot of things through. So I think he might be outmaneuvered by Phasma and Kylo Ren at some point. So I don't know how much we'll see of General Hux, other than he is definitely a figurehead of the First Order. I don't think he's going to fight anybody. I think if anything, he's going to be more likely to be the person to actually do the death stroke to General Leia with his like dreadnought Star Destroyer versus her little ship. But I don't know. Like, I don't expect a lot from him. But I would like another big scene, maybe at that Walker factory that we saw in the trailer.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be like a speech. It's just I just want a cool scene with him in it. Just one. It can be like a minute long. I don't care.
So next we saw Han Solo, and I think we've already talked about this, how he survived the fall.
All right, moving on.
Just like Maul. All right, moving on. Chewbacca. Chewbacca, then. Let's talk about Chewbacca. Chewie.
So Chewie and Maz are Rey's parents. Let's just get that out of the way.
He's just telling us that. So let's talk about Chewbacca real quick. So Chewbacca, at the end of it, he comes back with Han. He gets the Millennium Falcon back after it was stolen by the Duquesne and all that people and ended up with Unkar Plot and Jakku. But he is with Rey and R2-D2 on Octu. And can I say this, my favorite thing is, he's not a fan of the Porgs. I think that's what's going to happen. We see him hit a Porg in the trailer, which made me so happy. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Do you
think
it'll be like frenemies kind of deal?
Or like I actually, they just make an I, odd I feel, couple I feel like
where like they hate
I
each other know, like, but need each other?
Does anyone have a cat? Like, I have three cats. Does anyone have a cat?
No.
Okay, well, my cats get into all the things they shouldn't get into. Like, right now, the Christmas tree's up, and I've actually pulled out my canned air. I brought out my canned air, and as soon as they get in that tree, because, there's cat toys just hanging from the tree. They're not cat toys. They're ornaments. The cats don't understand that. As soon as they get in the tree, the canned air comes out, and they get scared, which is hilarious. I don't mean to do it to hurt them or anything like that, but I'm like, no, stay away, and they don't listen to me. So the canned air is what they understand. So I feel like the Porgs and Chewie are going to be like that. I feel like Chewie's going to be like, just get out of all the things. Like, quapam. I don't know.
Hey, that's my sound effect. Back off.
Oh, sorry. Can't do it. Tanya, any hopes, dreams, predictions for Chewbacca?
I really, really, really would like to see Chewie work through his grief a little bit. How that take shape, I'm not entirely certain, but obviously he's gonna be devastated by the fact that Han, who had been there with him for so long and at his side, like it was just the two of them for so long, and now it's just him. How is he gonna deal with that? What's he gonna do? How is he going to manage that grief? Like, it's something that's inherently fascinating to me, is what how if, grief plays a part.
And it's interesting because it's like a character that doesn't speak English. We have to like feel for in a kind of a deeper way than just like him being a cool sidekick who's like awesome. Do you think maybe this is stretching maybe things a little bit, but we know that Force ghosts exist, and maybe they exist with Luke in this movie, and we know that Chewie's nearby. What if Chewie and Yoda have a meetup? And then Yoda's like, be okay, everything will. And then, they have a moment. Be okay,
everything will. I don't know about that.
Like to see Force ghosts. That would be great. No,
we do see Chewie in the Porgs book, so I don't know. We'll see. Very see what you do.
The Porgs are like squeeze toy therapy for him.
All right, we have a few more to get through before we're done here. So let's move on to none other than Supreme Leader Snoke.
He is Smeagol.
He's a giant hologram, and we found out he's not really tiny and he's not really tall. He's normal sized, which made me sad. But sad we know day. He wears a bunch of gold because gold
he
is
less wears stiff a gold than the action figure. Robe.
Yeah, there's he's basically wrong. The Jeff Goldblum of this movie.
Gold is best. So yeah. Right. So he's.
I got I got major Snoke vibes from Jeff Goldblum and Ragnarok. Just from the outfit. What if that's what Snoke is?
No. Sorry, no one particularly Sorry. Not Andy Serkis can ever be Jeff Goldblum. I'm sorry. Jeff Goldblum is just Jeff Goldblum. And like,
that's very true. He's
his own unique, ridiculous self. No one can ever be him. Ever.
I am a fan of Jeff Goldblum myself.
Yeah,
yeah, so. Me too. Life finds a way. Sorry. I love Jeff Goldblum so much. Like, the entire press tour for Thor Ragnarok was incredible with him in. Oh. And there is just one interview that they allowed Taika and Jeff Goldblum to do together, and it went so deliciously weird so quickly. It was beautiful. And that's the only interview that they were allowed to do together, and then they split them up. And it was just perfect. But yeah, no, Snoke is absolutely not a Jeff Goldblum. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Snoke, I think when we see him in this movie, at least, he needs to be Palpatine-level evil, like, threatening, scary, you know.
Well, he's not a Sith, so...
But what I'm saying is, like, he needs to... He is the villain of this trilogy, right? So, like, he needs to be as good or better than Palpatine was, like, in the prequels, you know, because he seems to like be the manipulative type, even though he's not a Sith.
You know, he's definitely a manipulator type. So, and you have to remember, like, also, I think it was the novelization of Force Awakens where Leia comments that it was always Snoke who was tempting Ben, and she should have stopped it. Luke didn't know, but she did. And, you know, so I think, like, she should have done more. She should have asked for help. So I think he's going to be this kind of creepy, you know, predator type person who is, you know, going to go ahead and, control and taunt and tempt Rey, and you know, we see him holding her, or what we think is him holding her, in the Force, because he taught, you know, Ben how to use that, where he can stop blaster bolts and everything. So I'm excited to see what we see from him. I do want to see if he wears fuzzy slippers with that gold robe, because if he does, I kind of want those same fuzzy slippers, because I think it'd be hilarious. But you know, Snoke, I think, is going to have to survive to see episode 9. I think that's what it is. Maybe he gets another scar. Any other thoughts?
I mean, if he doesn't survive through to episode 9, that would actually be an interesting twist, because who would become the major villain then if it's right. not Snoke?
What if Hux is secretly trying to kill Snoke so he can take over?
I'd believe that.
And I can see that being a more compelling, our, you know, villain, because the First Order is...
Well, we already know how ruthless Hux is.
Yeah, so. Like I said, he kills his own father with the help of Phasma, so
yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. Last four characters, we have General Leia. When we last left her, she was on Dakar, after sending Rey, Chewie, and R2 to go to find Luke. Because she had to help evacuate Dakar, because the First Order knew where the Rebel base was, or the Resistance base was. What do you guys think is going to happen to her, without stating the obvious?
I mean, we know that Holdo's coming in to take over leadership some more. Whether that's due to her grief, or other reasons for why she needs to step back from being in a leadership role, is less certain, but I don't know. I would really like to see a lot more about her relationship with Poe. She's almost like a surrogate mother to Poe. Obviously, Poe lost his mother still while he was quite young. So,
well, and maybe Poe kind of serves as like a
surrogate son.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They fill the void for each other in that kind of way. That would be cool to see.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see if that plays out the way that I think it's going to. And I don't know. I think we're in a really difficult position with Leia, obviously, because we know that whatever happens in this film,
I think she's not going to survive. I think they probably edited episode 8 a little bit
to make it obvious that she doesn't survive. I don't think we see it on screen, but I think something's going to happen where she's going to die. And they obviously hinted at that.
Yeah, and I don't think that's how she's going to die if she dies, but like, I definitely think... I mean, I've kind of stood by this for a while, too. Like, I don't know how or why or anything like that, but I'm thinking I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And if it doesn't, I'm excited to see how they wrap up her story, because they said they were going to give it a nice arc, which I'm excited about. So, regardless of what happens to her character, I'm very excited to see her in this movie, because, she'll have a bigger role than the last one.
I'll be honest with you. I think she's going to be the thing that's going to unify the Resistance and the Republic. I think she will unify them.
Well, I mean, what's left of the Republic?
The government, but just because the New Republic's central government is destroyed, all the planets are still there, and they're all still fight. They all still see that the First Order is the one that did this, which is the same thing Empire did.
She could embrace, be like, hey, I know Darth Vader is my dad, but like, let's get behind a cause that we can all be against, and that's the First Order or something. Because we know that she's had struggles with the reveal of who her parentage is.
Yeah, and that's actually why she started the Resistance, because she was ousted as the daughter of Darth Vader. And I think this is probably edited. Her death is going to go ahead and unite Poe and, Emlyn Hondo's, the characters together and the Resistance and the Republic. And I think she's going to become a martyr for the cause against the First Order. I think they've probably changed that, because I remember vaguely somewhere that they said fans will get an on-screen way to mourn Carrie Fisher. And I feel like there's no other way than making her a symbol of hope.
The on-screen way is like the entire movie.
Yeah, so you get the idea.
But just saying, like,
all right, let's wrap these last two before we get to Luke. C-3PO, he now has a gold arm, no more red arm.
He's real 3PO again.
Good old 3PO, black gold plated, and he's on Dakar at the end. He didn't go to Octu with his buddy R2. So what do you guys think is going to happen to?
They better C-3PO. Reunite in this movie.
I want Luke to interact with him, 3PO. Never. I want like a comedy line from Luke saying like, "You never change, 3PO. You never change," like something like that.
Yeah,
and right. I want him to.
Yeah,
and I
that
also
would be
want 3PO
really
to
nice.
Say, "I really want him to thank the Maker, because it's like a little homage to little Annie Skywalker, and like ties the whole trilogy, all the trilogies together." So I want him to say, "Thank the Maker" in it. But that's my hopes and dreams for 3PO. Any other hopes and dreams for 3PO?
Actually, this is not quite 3PO related, but it could be. I don't know. Who in this movie is going to say, "I've got a bad feeling about this"?
Oh, it's going to be
all
Rey.
Of them.
All of them are going to say.
It's
going to
be everybody all at once.
Actually, you know what? I think it's going to be Rose. I think it's going to be Rose. You know why? It's because they're going to be 007 in it up and Canto Bite. And Finn's going to be like, "Come on, it's going to work. We'll use the Force." And she's like, "I got a bad feeling about this."
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, that's Mikey's prediction, and when it happens,
so Mikey's
boom.
Is Rose. Danya, who do you think?
I think it might be Finn.
I think it's. I'm gonna put my money on Luke.
Okay.
And I don't know. That's just a hunch. I have nothing to back that up at all. I don't want to say. I think because Finn probably would have been my guess too, but. We all have to be on opposing sides. Somebody ask Caitlin. That way we can all have a
Caitlin says time. It's R2-D2. Anyway, moving on to our next character, R2-D2. Who hung out in low power mode through the entirety of Force Awakens. That means he took a nice long nap for many years. He comes back and he had the map to Octu, the location of Luke Skywalker. He gets to go to Octu with Chewie and Rey. And I will say this, I feel like, I don't know about this, like, I don't know why he still stood at the bottom of the steps while Rey, other than cinematically having Rey go up the stairs. Now, like, you're like, you might be like, well, R2-D2 can't go upstairs. I'm like, we know he's got rocket jets.
Yeah, I know. It's like the Dalek.
I'm like, come on. You know he's got rocket jets. So I feel like what's going to happen. Right, can you imagine this? Close your eyes. Hold on. I got a little story here. Close your eyes, everybody. Story time with Mikey. All right. So here's the opening of episode 8. You got Rey staring at Luke. The music swells. And then R2 just flies in and lands. And goes, bip, bip, bip. Yeah, like I feel like that's how it's gonna be like. So it's kind of like the who talks first. You talk, I talk.
Yeah.
It's going to be the rocket jets.
Would that be, that would back up the first two lines or words of Last Jedi, which we know are "we're not." It could be like Luke, who's just like, you know, something like "we're not going to go there right now," or like we're not gonna watch you, R2. This is a moment between, I don't know, something funny.
Well, Mark Hamill said the first words are "there was a hand with that," so we'll see what happens. Anyway. There was a hand with that when the
Did you
bring the hand? Where's the hand? Yes. Anyway,
makes sense.
All right, and last character is none other than Mr. Luke, Grandmaster Jedi, Luke Skywalker himself. So, other than a brief Force vision earlier in the film, he was not revealed to the very end, standing ominous, looking out of the island on Ahch-To with his hood up, and then he turns around and reveals himself. What do you guys think Luke's going to do?
I don't know. Something tells me he might train Rey.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, that, actually.
I think he's going to ride on her back like Yoda. Yeah. You know what? Here's one prediction, and a lot of fans have said this. I think Luke has his green lightsaber still. I think he still does, and I think he's going to use it. I think they've very specifically haven't let us seen it in any of the trailers or anything.
There's a lot they haven't let us see.
I know. And the reason why, I'll tell you this, the reason why is the Hot Wheel cars, I say we'll see it, Rey's is blue with a lightsaber, and Luke's is the colors of his robe, but also green like his lightsaber. So I think Luke will have his lightsaber, and he will be so powerful. That's actually part of the reasons why he went to meditate and think about the Force after his failure with his new Jedi Academy. Anything else about Luke?
Yeah. No, I'm excited just to see Mark Hamill lead a movie, especially as Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I also am really looking forward to Luke and Leia being reunited.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's almost certainly going to happen. But I don't know. Particularly without Han there now as well, just the two of them coming back together as a duo, which I don't think they've ever had the opportunity to just be the two of them. It's always been the three of them.
There's like one scene in Return of the Jedi, which is when he tells her, but that's like the only time we've ever seen it happen.
Yeah, it just, so, I yeah, really it'd be want... Nice. Yeah, I really want some good quality time between the two of them in like a reunion scene.
Yeah, I will say this. I looking at all the posters of The Last Jedi, Luke is a central figure in this film. So I think he's going to
be... No kidding.
Right?
They dedicated an entire film to finding him.
I know. Well, but here's the thing is like J.J. Abrams said it first, like you can't have Luke Skywalker and be able to introduce these other characters because...
Well, that's sure. I'm totally cool with the fact that they spent a whole movie looking for him, but like, no crap that this movie's going to be about him. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, so that's what's going to be. Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. I think that's what's going to be. I think we're going to have Luke. He's going to have his green lightsaber. They've been playing us, not letting us see it. He's gonna be use some amazing Force powers we haven't seen before, maybe even like Force lightning, but like light side Force lightning.
Yeah, so like it tickles instead of shocks.
Oh gosh, a la like Monsters Inc. Laughter's better than screams. Exactly. I don't know if that's that, but I think it might do.
And
something
he'll tickle else. Snoke, and then it'll be a great movie.
Oh, him and Snoke become BFFs at the end.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up? All right. Thank you all for listening.
This is it. This is
last one. It's the eve before The Last Jedi.
Last one.
So thank you all for listening to another random episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I am Ben.
Solo.
Solo.
May the Force Kenobi. Be with you.
And also with you.
And also... Oh, Danya, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. You cut out very briefly. Okay, one, two, three.
And also with you.